What happens when you have uninvited guests at your wedding and there's no way you can get them to leave?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share those real ghost stories with us, and we'd love to share them on the show. You can call in anytime at 855-853-4802. You can also write them in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show, you can get that, along with advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. If you go that route, you can get it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Kathy Gordon.
Hey, y'all.
Uninvited guests at your wedding, and I think you might have figured out why they won't leave.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I had invited guests at my wedding that I wished would leave, but you know.
Not me, was it?
No.
Do you have something you want to tell me after all these years?
I was thinking more about my mother-in-law, but.
But then there was Carol at the wedding. She wouldn't shut up. Yeah. She had one up in everybody and out drinking them
That's
all.
That's right.
God.
Out drinking everybody. No, Carol. I was just teasing.
No, I think this is a good story. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Let's go.
First of all, I have to tell you, I absolutely love your show. Thank you. I've not had many paranormal experiences in my life, but the ones I've had make my skin crawl. Please forgive me if this tale jumps around a bit, but I'm going to try to paint you the best picture I can. I was married to the love of my life last June, and we had a theme wedding, steampunk. Now, I'm going to interrupt right there.
Fun.
What a fun idea for a wedding. And just
oh my
what you
gosh,
could do
no
with
joke,
that idea, right?
Right?
So
I love it.
I think that's a great idea. I live in southern West Virginia, and there's a small town rather close to me that was perfect for the occasion, Bramwell. If you've never heard of it, long ago before the stock market crash, it was a home of many coal barons. There were more millionaires in that little town than anywhere else in America, and thanks to the stock market crash in the early 20th century, they were all gone overnight. Bramwell has beautiful turn-of-the-century buildings and quaint shops. The community is small and close-knit and known to be haunted by those long-gone souls. Every year, Bramwell has an annual ghost walk to raise money for the community, and you can tour the old homes and see the ghosts retell their stories. Wouldn't that be so fun?
Oh, let's go. I wonder when they do it.
I don't know, but we could Google that. My best friend from work offered to let me use her property as a venue, being one of the mansions in the area. It's also known as the Playhouse, and it was built by IT Man. It was originally constructed as the home for his children and their governess, which is so weird. The way that sentence is written, it sounds like just the kids and their governess live there, and maybe that was true, but he and his wife maybe had another house. I get it. We want to have children, but we just don't really want to raise them. Here's a house. Here's a governess.
I'm a little speechless. I think that
I don't know if that's,
that it does. The way she worded it, that is the way it sounds. That he was so rich, he built a house, and the kids all lived over there with the governess.
With the governess,
and, you know, the help, or you know, whoever else they needed.
Which might have been great for those kids. It's like, yes,
maybe, yeah.
Okay, it's a beautiful home, and I jumped at the chance to use it for the wedding. We hosted our reception at the Bank of Bramwell, also founded by IT Man. That guy must have had some money back in the day. Everything inside the building is true to the era in which it was built. Beautiful hand-carved paneling and large windows. It was beautiful and fit the theme perfectly. Upstairs, there's an apartment that my husband and I reserved for our wedding night. On our wedding day, our best man, Terry, and his daughter arrived to get ready and help with any last-minute things we might need. Terry climbed the stairs and stopped dead in his tracks. I was behind him carrying things up, and I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Is anyone else here yet?" I told him, "No, just us." Everyone was running around busy getting food prepped and decorating, and my husband was out with my boys getting them from my aunt's house where they had gone to get their haircut. He broke out in a visible cold sweat and said, "I just saw someone go into the room on the end." We checked the entire apartment, and just as I had told him, we were the only ones there. Terry is a former Army Ranger, and I had never seen him go pale so quickly. He was very shaken and refused to stay upstairs alone after that. Don't blame him. I had an uncomfortable, uneasy feeling while I was alone there. Later, when I was alone upstairs preparing for my big day, I kept hearing sounds and feeling eyes on me, even though at that time I was the only one upstairs. I went to the bathroom to shower and refused to look in the mirror because I just could not shake the feeling of someone standing behind me.
I know that exact feeling. I know exactly what she's talking about. Yeah, you just kind of keep your head down, looking down the whole time. Oh, dear.
And which is really bad when it's your wedding day because you kind of do want to look in the mirror. Even if you have somebody doing your hair, you know, even if somebody else is doing your hair and makeup, you still got to check yourself out. You know,
yeah.
Be in the moment. You're the bride.
Oh, I get it, though. I know exactly what she's talking about.
Our wedding was beautiful and went off with only a couple of tiny hiccups. After the reception, my husband and I went through and locked all the doors and windows, then proceeded to shut off all the lights. However, we could not cut off the main light in the bank lobby directly over the counter. We searched the entire room and were unable to find a light switch that would turn it off. Finally, exhausted, we decided just to leave it on. To get to the apartment, we had to go through a door at the back of the bank that had once separated the office of IT man from the bank stairwell. The door is a heavy oak door, which you have to pull on very hard to latch shut completely from the tiny stairwell. We left it open and ascended the stairs for our wedding night. I could not get comfortable that night to the point where I refused to turn off the bedside lamp. I felt like we were not alone and that someone was lurking just outside our door. I got up on a couple of occasions after hearing what can only be described as a soft swishing sound to check that we were actually alone, which I'm going to say is quite brave of her. I would be like, you get up. You get up. No, you get up. You get up. Let's get up together.
Right? I'm under the bed with the covers over my head by this point. Like,
and instead, it's like, I'm going to go see if we're alone. I'm hearing a swishing sound, so much braver.
Well, the Army Ranger wouldn't even stay there, like, you know, be up there alone. So she is super brave.
The next morning, we were packing our things from the wedding and had several boxes. The stairs were very steep and narrow, so we opted to push the bags and boxes of unbreakables down. I had to think about that for a minute, but they were unbreakables, so that's okay.
Right.
My husband was at the bottom of the stairs, and I was at the top of the stairs. I saw him reach to his right and open the big, heavy door, the one we had left open, so that he could place the bags and boxes inside the office. I asked him, "Did you just open that door?" He nodded and looked up at me. "We left it open, didn't we?" I nodded, feeling the tiny hair stand up on the back of my neck. We made ourselves busy taking things out to the truck, loading the last of the decorations and things. We sat down in the lobby of the bank to rest. We chatted for a few moments, and I commented with a smile, "So you figured out where the light switch was?" Pointing to the overhead lamp that was now off, he smiled and said, "I thought maybe you had. I can tell you that we were the only ones in the bank all night, and upon checking with the owners that morning, no one else had entered the bank after we had retired for the evening." I was telling my son about the feelings I had and the unexplained things that had happened. He's 12 and very mature for his age. I've always considered him a very old soul. He looked at me seriously and said he had felt the same things too. He had also walked by the bathroom and heard the water running in the tub as though someone was preparing the bath, and there was no one inside and the bathtub was empty. That's a very distinct sound. Although I never saw anything, these experiences of things I can't explain definitely made for a great honeymoon I will never forget. Thank you for reading my story. I hope to hear it on a podcast. Keep up the great work. I love you guys. Tracy. That's just, it is a great story for your wedding, though. Even though
it is,
like, and you didn't probably have a super romantic wedding night because the whole night you're like, somebody's watching me.
Because you were too scared.
Somebody's watching me. There's swishing sounds. Like, I can't turn off the light.
I can't look in the mirror how my mascara is. There would be some things there, but, you know, congratulations to her and, you know, the wonderful wedding. And I'll bet the decorations were darling with the steampunk theme.
I love the idea of having the reception at the bank. I think that's really fun. And it's cool that it had some kind of apartment, because probably back in the day when it was built, the manager just lived right there at the bank, or maybe some kind of security person. So they had an apartment there, which is awesome. But at the same time, you've got guests at your wedding that you didn't exactly invite.
Yeah.
But maybe you kind of invaded their space. So they're like, hey, we didn't invite you. So
it started right away, just, you know, going up the stairs to take stuff up there. You know, they saw something right away. That's really a great story, though.
Creepy. We've got another story. Yeah. So this one.
You do?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm writing in because I had a really nice visitation dream that came right before some exciting news, and I think they're connected. On December 8th, when I had fallen asleep, I dreamt that my husband and I were going to stay at my grandfather's house. My grandfather owns a one-story, three-bedroom, one-bath house built in the 50s. The biggest room was owned by my grandmother. They slept separately. I don't know why. I will guess, and I don't know why because I don't even know the grandparents, but probably one of them snored horribly. And it could have been grandma because our grandma snored really bad.
Oh, didn't she?
She did.
It was terrible.
Yeah, so that's going to be my guess. Don't know. I dreamt that my grandfather had turned it into a guest room. My husband and I were unpacking, and we had our dog Snowy, that's cute, in the room with us. Snowy is usually very territorial, so we have to have her on a leash when she is going to be near anyone new. As we were unpacking, the door opens and in walked my grandmother. Instinctively, I go to grab my dog's collar, but before I can, Snowy has sniffed my grandmother and rolled on her back for belly rubs. My grandma scratched her belly and then walked in. The next thing I know, Grandma and I are sitting on the bed, and I have my head against her arm as I did when I was a child. Then I woke up. I thought this was interesting, and for a few days, I wondered why I had been visited. I had read that this is usually some sort of message, so I was curious. A few days later, I found out that I am pregnant. I think my grandma was trying to tell me so, and I think she was trying to announce it before I did. I told my aunt a few days before Christmas about the baby and the dream. She actually said she had been seeing my grandmother every night for the past week in her dreams, and my grandma had kept telling her to call me because I had something important to tell her. I started laughing because that's how my grandma was. She wouldn't have waited for me to spread the news. She would have done it herself. I said out loud, "Geez, Grandma, thanks for not being patient," and my aunt and I both laughed. Isn't that the sweetest?
That is great.
See, and those visitation dreams are always just different anyway, because you just feel like you really experienced that person, like you really had that time together, or it's just different. It's not like it was part of a dream. You wake up feeling like you had it, you saw them. And so I just thought that was the cutest story.
I had a creepy one, though, a while back, where it was really, truly a thunderstorm night. I mean, that was happening, right? And I dozed off, and in my dreams, it was so real that I sat up to get up to go to the bathroom, and I'm walking, you know, past my bed, and I get to the foot of my bed, and all of a sudden it lightnings real bright because of the storm. And there's this woman standing there in this, like, black dress, and she has a box in her hands, and she pushes this box towards me and said, "He wants you to have these." And I look into the box, and there's like things from my childhood. You know, like there's a doll that I used to have and a little sewing kit my grandmother gave me, and, you know, just some little things. And then I was so scared. I woke up. Next thing I know, I was just sitting up in bed. Like, she was so real. And I was like, why? And I kept sitting there going, what was it? What is it about my past, like things from my past, you know? And like for days, I just kept thinking about this woman in this black dress, you know, but I couldn't see her when I first got up until it, you know, flashed lightning really bright in the room and she was standing there.
But you never got any message like this is why that happened?
No, I mean, I've thought a lot about it, like, you know, maybe coming to terms with something in my past, you know, or,
well,
you know,
obviously
something like that I need to work
on. She thought you didn't want the things in the box.
So. Absolutely. Like, I wasn't taking care of it or something. I don't know. But
she's like, okay,
you know,
great. I tried to give her what's in the box number one. She didn't want it.
She didn't like it. Yeah.
My work here is done.
Kathy. I know. But I'm like, for days, I was just, you know, unfounded by this person's face. You know, it just really threw me. But but she's right. You know, it's different. It's like it's super real.
Yeah. Totally different. If you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Go to applepodcast.com. You can try it there 3 days absolutely free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.